Morning Turks, I'm your host Jake Huger. We're just here doing an interview with Vice President Al Gore. He's still here, let's do a whole segment together. It's amazing, it's like the old days when we were on current TV.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wasn't that an amazing team? 2012 elections, us two, Elliot Spitzer, Jennifer Granholm, Michael Schur.
It was a great team. You were the host, you were the ringleader, and I was happy to be in your band.
It's amazing, I've lived a life. All right, so thank you for being here, I really appreciate it. And I want to dive into some of the issues that are going on.
Great.
Okay. So California earlier this week passed cap and trade.
Yeah.
So now that's actually an extension of an earlier legislation. It was supposed to go to 2020, but we're almost there. So they extended it to 2030.
Yeah.
And it was a really nice moment. If you guys didn't see, Jerry Brown and Arnold Schwarzenegger were together.
Yeah.
And they raised each other's hands.
Yeah.
Because Schwarzenegger is on the right side of that issue.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
So tell us what that cap and trade does in California and why it's so important.
Well, first of all, it makes Jerry Brown one of the preeminent leaders on this issue in the world. I admire Jerry a lot, and I know there was a little criticism of this detail or that detail, and I get it, but wow, to be able to accomplish that is amazing. And he got 8 Republican members of the legislature, some from very conservative districts, and several Republican governors of other states endorsed the legislation. So what it does is put a price on carbon through the cap and trade mechanism. It greatly benefits Canada as well, because Ontario has joined. Quebec has already joined. Ontario is about to. Mexico. 3 weeks ago, I was in Australia, and I've worked with Chair. I took 4 letters from him to the premiers of the 4 largest states in Australia. It's the same deal there. They got a federal government that doesn't have its act together, but the state governments have a lot of the levers of power. So California is really kind of leading the way in the U.S., but you got a lot of other states too. So it's a very important accomplishment.
Is cap and trade the right way to tackle this issue?
You know, if I had my druthers, I would have a tax on carbon. Mm-hmm. And cap and trade, and regulations like requiring a certain percentage from renewables going up each year. But the resistance to a tax of any kind, of course, because of the way the ideological debate has been shaped, makes it easier in most jurisdictions to go for the indirect price on carbon, which cap and trade is. Even in China, by the way. I have a close friend there, Xie Jinhua, who is their top climate guy, works for Xi Jinping. They floated a carbon tax in China, and it met with a lot of resistance from the regional industrial leaders. Of course, it's a dictatorship, but not totally. They pay attention to opinion. So they diverted to a cap and trade there as well. Sweden, probably doing the best job of any country, has both cap and trade and a carbon tax. And eventually, I hope we will have a carbon tax. A revenue-neutral carbon tax is something I've supported for more than 25 years. But when I realized that was an almost impossible sell, I said, okay, second best is cap and trade. Let's do that. The first President Bush had done that to stop sulfur dioxide and help cure acid rain, and it worked better than a lot of us expected it would. So let's say, well, let's do that. That's when we started this effort, and the Republican authors of the first cap and trade plan immediately switched and said, no, you're for it, now we're against it. Not saying that to me, but to the Democrats who were there then.
Well, where have I seen that movie before? Heritage Foundation proposed a health care
There you go, plan. Same thing.
Right, and you, once the Democrats-
Good catch.
Right, say they're in favor of it, all of a sudden they're not. Which actually then leads to a hot issue also in California. So very recently they decided to pass single payer in the California Senate.
Yeah.
But couldn't quite get it done in the Assembly. Curious to your take on the issue. Single payer, Medicare for all, what's your stance on this?
Well, throughout my career in government back in the day, I was kind of skeptical about single payer. I thought the hybrid system, public-private, could work. Starting in 2002, I came to the conclusion that we should go to single-payer. Medicare for all would be an easy way to do it. I just think that the current system, I'm all for Obamacare, AHCA, as it's called. but the Republicans are trying to undermine that. And when and if we get to the point where we have to rework it again, I would be strongly in favor of going to single payer.
All right, great. And then I want to play you a clip from Lindsey Graham today, because he said something very interesting about the Mueller investigation.
Okay.
So let's take a look at that and then react. This happened just today.
There will be no confirmation hearing for a new attorney general in 2017. If Jeff Sessions is fired, there will be holy hell to pay. Any effort to go after Mueller could be the beginning of the end of the Trump presidency, unless Mueller did something wrong.
Okay, so those are very strong words.
Yeah, very. Yeah.
What's your level of faith that the Republican senators will follow through on that threat if he fires Mueller?
Well, you know, Lindsey Graham is sometimes out over his skis where the rest of the Republican caucus is concerned. But the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Chuck Grassley, put out a tweet just the day before saying he's not going to have any hearings on any new attorney general this year. Ben Sasse of Nebraska put out a tweet saying, if you're thinking about a recess appointment to replace Sessions, forget about it, directed at Trump. And I've heard interviews with quite a few Republican senators who are all saying similar things. So my guess is that this sentiment expressed by Lindsey Graham is not just him, or not just him and John McCain. I think it appears to be representative of what the Republicans in the Senate generally are thinking and saying.
All right, one last question for you, and it is about the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
So we talked about some of the issues, climate change, yeah, single payer. Some are counseling. I read an article the other day, the Blue Dog Democrats are back, and they're saying, let's go to the center, and that's why we're losing. And they are losing. They've lost the House, the Senate, the White House, the Supreme Court, and 69 out of 99 state legislatures. Mm. Now, of course, there's the progressive wing saying, no, let's fight for the positions we believe in, and let's go stronger in that direction. What do you make of that? Which direction do you think they should go?
Well, you know, when I ran this the last time for president, my slogan was for the people, not the powerful. And a lot of people criticized that as leaning too far toward the progressive side. But it just seems to me, with rising inequality in incomes and net worths, and also the inequality of political power, our democracy has been hacked by big money long before the Russians hacked it. And we need to right the ship. We need to restore American democracy. And I think the way to do it is to really go to the people and say, we're for you, and we're not going to bend to the will of these wealthy and powerful poobahs. You know, Bernie Sanders' campaign, whether you agree with his agenda or not, just looking at the mechanics of it, he accomplished something that I think is really significant beyond politics and ideology. He proved that it now is possible in 2016, 2017, 2018, 2020 to run a very credible, potentially winning campaign without taking any special interest money, any big fat cat contributions, just going out on the internet and trying to motivate the average citizens of this country to finance the campaign with small donations. That's the way it should be. And I think that the internet and social media have now evolved to the point where that really is possible. And that possibility gives me tremendous hope that we may be able to rekindle the spirit of America and reinvigorate the way our democracy is intended to operate. And that's best done by going to the people with solutions that speak to them and don't, you know, bend over to be so careful with all these powerful special interests.
Correct me if I'm wrong, the first bill you ever introduced was about getting money out of politics?
Yeah, I mean, every time when I was first elected to the House of Representatives, I introduced legislation to have 100% federal funding of all federal elections. It was part of the platform in every campaign I ran in the House, in the Senate, both times I ran for president. I was never really attacked on it, Cenk, because they couldn't get people to believe that I would propose such a thing. But I really believe that's one of the secrets. Now, it's hard to get something like that passed. I'm not naive about it. But I really do think that getting big money out of politics is absolutely essential to save the America that we know and love.
I thought I was early on it, but you introduced that bill when?
1977.
So you might have figured out things a little quicker than,
I'm a lot older than you.
So climate change, money in politics, all these issues, you're way out ahead. I hope that people learn from that. And as one last thing, as I watched the movie, this is for you guys, I kept thinking, how many times does the guy have to be proven right before you go, maybe I should listen to him, right?
Did I mention the website, Jing?
I don't think you did.
Inconvenientsequel.com. You can buy advance tickets. It opens in Los Angeles this Friday, tomorrow, and New York. And then a week from tomorrow, August 4th, it opens wide all across the country. And you got viewers around the world. This movie is going to be playing in countries around the world. And use your voice, use your vote, use your choices in life. Be a part of the solutions and go to see this movie, An Inconvenient Truth, An Inconvenient Sequel, Truth to Power.
Yes, so another thing is get involved. Climate Reality Project, and the first thing to do in getting involved is actually seeing what's going on. If you didn't see Inconvenient Truth, go back to see Inconvenient Truth, and then go see Inconvenient Sequel, and it's stark.
Thank you.
Yes.
People come away hopeful. They come away hopeful, but also with an increased sense of urgency.
Yeah, and there was literally a couple of times where I gasped. You know, the scene with the station in Greenland.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then the next year they come back and the ice is gone, and I was like, So Inconvenient Sequel. Check it out, Vice President Gore. Thank you so much for being here.
Chuck.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back. We got the rest of the show for you guys.
I'm here to stay, and I'll do my best.
All right, back on the Young Turks. What a day! What a crazy day. I mean, it's a crazy day in a thousand different ways. We got just had Vice President Al Gore in the studio, and the things that Scaramucci has said is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So I'm going to have that for you in the next segment. But I do want to touch on two things here that are related, and it relates to the Russian investigations, and also what are the Republicans actually going to do about it. So let me tell you those two stories right now. A couple of days ago on the show, I asked the question of what will the Republicans do? There will be a moment of truth for them if Donald Trump actually follows through and fires Sessions and Mueller. Because if he does that and they let him do it, there is some chance that we have lost our checks and balances and what we know to be America. That is not an overstatement. Because if you are under investigation and you're allowed to fire anyone who investigates you, well, that is not our form of government. Our form of government is that the three branches are supposed to check one another, not let the executive branch do whatever they want, whether it's within the law or not within the law. So we now have our first answer as to what Republicans are going to do if we get to that moment of truth. So let me show you Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, Republican senator.
You know, the president has the right to fire anybody in his cabinet. As a human being, I think he should show some respect for Jeff Sessions as a person. Jeff Sessions was the most loyal supporter of Donald Trump. He's a rock solid conservative. But the reason I like him so much is I often disagree with him, but I've never believed that he was a man who lacks integrity or sense of fair play. This effort to basically marginalize and humiliate the Attorney General is not going over well in the Senate. I don't think it's going over well in the conservative world. If you believe Jeff Sessions should be fired, use the power you have and accept the consequences.
Damn, accept the consequences. So those are strong words there by Lindsey Graham. They're about to get stronger. Wait till you see the second video. This is very interesting development. You're not going to be surprised that Democrats, of course, agree. Senator Blumenthal, who is Democrat, said firing Mueller would, quote, precipitate a firestorm that would be unprecedented in proportions. So, okay, But you really got to take the actual actions. And now it is important to see that conservative media, ranging from Fox News to Breitbart, beginning to say, hey, firing Jeff Sessions is a terrible idea, don't do it. The congressional Republicans have expressed strong support for former FBI Director Robert Mueller. They've also rallied around Sessions, so now you're seeing the legislators. Okay, but what are you actually going to do about it? That brings us to the second thing Lindsey Graham said.
There will be no confirmation hearing for a new attorney general in 2017. If Jeff Sessions is fired, there will be holy hell to pay. Any effort to go after Mueller could be the beginning of the end of the Trump presidency, unless Mueller did something wrong.
Now we're having a conversation. So he's saying, we're not confirming anyone else. Jeff Sessions is your attorney general. You want to fire him? Fire him, face the consequences, but we're not putting in a new attorney general. And then the second comment is even stronger. You fire Mueller and it is the beginning of the end for you. That is a Republican senator from South Carolina. Now, he's not the end all be all, and he has tweaked Donald Trump more often than other Republican senators. But now Chuck Grassley, Ben Sasse from Nebraska, and others are coming out and saying, yeah, no. That's a terrible idea to fire Sessions, and if you fire Mueller, game on. And you know Republicans, you never know. They could circle the wagons and protect him anyway. But it will definitely be their moment of truth, because if you let him fire Mueller, that means he can do anything he wants. Forget past crimes, he can do future crimes. And he just put his cronies in and he'll never be held accountable. Again, not our system of government, but it's not just words. Lindsey Graham also took some action. So let me go to the Associated Press for this. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina is working on legislation that would block the firing of special counsels without judicial review. Now they should pass that immediately. And if you believe in American democracy, that is exactly the right law. And I don't say that about the legislation the Republicans offer very often. Well, that one is absolutely right. So you block Trump from being able to fire the person who's actually investigating him. If they don't do that and he does fire him, and maybe that's why Trump's in a bit of a panic here. He's got to go right now to fire these people. Now, if you didn't do it, would you be in that same panic? Or would you think, what's the difference? You know, they can investigate, and if they go and get out of hand, then my Republican senators will agree with me that they're going in the wrong direction. But if you have something to cover up, you're going to want to fire those guys before they pass this legislation. And now they're saying, well, if you do, the beginning of the end. We'll see. Interesting times. Okay, now, speaking of the heart of the issue, there's more action that Congress is taking. This is Republicans holding people accountable. Wow. Okay. Now, the Congress is considering new sanctions on Russia. They're not as tough as the ones that were passed in the Obama administration, but they would definitely affect the Russian economy. And Vladimir Putin, of course, is furious about it. And so it's very interesting to see which way Congress is going to go, and then, of course, the White House. Is Donald Trump going to pretend to be in favor of sanctions? But you know what? If he signs the bill, then you're not pretending anymore. Then you pass the sanctions. And I go, hey, you know what? Okay. Maybe he'll change later, but for the moment being, he didn't lift the sanctions. That's what Russia wanted most, and that's what we thought the deal was, right? So let's go find out together. Well, Reuters reporting US President Donald Trump could veto pending legislation that would slap new sanctions on Russia. He says, in order to push for a tougher deal. No, but wait. We have these sanctions that you have been fighting against the entire time. Now you claim you want to make it tougher. Well, then we go to our new friend Anthony Scaramucci, and he says he may veto the sanctions and negotiate an even tougher deal against the Russians. Okay, you say that, but then Reuters follows up with the idea of Trump wanting to strengthen the sanctions drew skepticism in Congress, because his administration had spent weeks lobbying for a weaker bill. It's not like we can't see that. Your guys are all over Congress going, don't do the sanctions. And if you're gonna do the sanctions, make it much weaker. Now when you say, oh, I'm gonna veto the sanctions bill if they pass it all the way through Congress, you say, oh, because I'd like them to be tougher. We know you're lying. You lied in public. All the congressmen and all the senators know you're lying because you just told them a couple of days ago that you want the sanctions to be weaker. Now pretending that you want them to be tougher is preposterous, but it gets worse because Reuters explains the White House has said that Trump is still evaluating the bill in support of strong sanctions against Russia. However, Trump can impose new sanctions at any time through an executive order. So wait a minute, if you wanted tougher sanctions, why don't you just do them now? You can pass the bill and then go, you know what, on top of that, here's an executive order with tougher sanctions on Russia. The reality is you don't want those sanctions, you can't have those sanctions, and you're risking your entire political career and your administration to possibly veto this bill because you've got to deal with the Russians. It's the most obvious thing in the world. Any person who doesn't have a deal with the Russians would think, what am I going to endanger my entire administration? These guys are breathing down my neck. There's all these, there's a special counsel, there's these investigators. If in the middle of all this I veto a bill that the sanctions on Russia for meddling in our election, my own intelligence agencies, the guys I appointed, Dan Coats, Mike Pompeo, head of the CIA, director of national intelligence, telling me there is no doubt and no dissent Russia interfered with our elections. Why on God's green earth would you defy your own party, who's actually pushing this forward, and credit to the Republicans for doing so. Of course, the Democrats agree, but the Republicans doing this despite a Republican president opposed to it, give them credit for that. Your own intelligence agencies, not Obama's, telling you that the Russians did do it. And so if you block it and you veto it, you basically told us there's nothing I can do, because if I don't block these sanctions, Putin is going to deliver on the other end of the threat. We don't know what the other end of that threat is, but Mueller's busy trying to find out. This is the most obvious thing in the world. Okay, I told you, way too stupid to do a cover up. Can't do it, he doesn't have it in him. He desperately wants to, just not bright enough to figure out how. Okay, we gotta take a break here. Wait till you get a load of Scaramucci. What did he do last night that was so shocking and unprecedented? And how did he follow it up today? You're gonna love this story. All right, back on the Young Turks. Tweets later, guys. We got a big show ahead for you guys, so we got to keep going, okay? So let's go to the Scaramucci story. Anthony Scaramucci is the new communications director for the White House, and boy, he's not good at communications. He's a bull in a china shop. He's literally threatened to fire everyone. And at one point said, and I love this quote, I'm more of a front stabbing person, right? He doesn't like to backstab you, he likes to front stab you. Well, that's what he did last night. He sent out a tweet that said, in light of the leak of my financial disclosure info, which is a felony, I will be contacting the FBI and the Justice Department, hashtag swamp, at Reince45. What? Wait a minute, why did you include Reince Priebus in that tweet? So, okay, let's just break this down. Number one, it is not a felony to leak his financial disclosure forms. He made that up. If you're the White House communications director and you're gonna tweet in public, just for a second, look up if it's true or not. These people are so grotesquely incompetent. Okay, number two, you're gonna accuse the White House chief of staff in your own administration of leaking against you and reporting to the FBI? This is so unprecedented. Even Nixon's administration didn't do this stuff publicly. They did Watergate and all that stuff behind the scenes. They didn't come out and go, oh yeah, I'm gonna fire you. Sessions, I'm gonna, oh yeah, you should step down. Oh yeah, the communications director says Reince Priebus should go. That's unbelievable. And if there was any sense of order, the boss, in this case Donald Trump, would come in and go, what are you doing? What are you accusing the guy publicly? Are you nuts? That's the White House chief of staff. That's arguably the second most important person in government, and that's part of my team. And you're saying we should report my own team to the FBI? And you're not even right. And second of all, the FBI and the Justice Department are removed from the White House. They are supposed to be separate. For example, if they need to investigate the White House, which is kind of where we are today. So you got that second part wrong too. Even if you thought it was the case, you can't direct, the White House cannot direct the FBI to investigate, in this case, the White House. This is so insane. It's insane. Ryan Lizza then tweets, in case there's any ambiguity in his tweet, I can confirm that Scaramucci wants the FBI to investigate Reince for leaking. So Ryan Lizza apparently talked to Scaramucci and he's like, yeah, of course, I'm going to tell you something, okay? I want that guy investigated. So there's no dispute over it anymore. Okay, and then did Reince Priebus leak? Well, that's a good question. It's not relevant because it's not a crime and he couldn't report it to the FBI. And it's mental that he's doing it publicly instead of going behind the scenes and going, hey, Mr. President, we have a really dire situation here. I think your chief of staff might be the leaker. Well, you would handle it internally, you schmuck. Anyway, he didn't do any of that. But did Reince leak it? It turns out, no. The person who reported his financial disclosure forms from Politico wrote this tweet. Wow, she woke up late because this happened in the middle of the night. Of course, as usual. She says, wow, sorry I slept through all the fun. For whatever it's worth, Mr. Scaramucci's Form 278E is publicly available from Export-Import Bank. Just ask. That's all you have to do. And she followed up by saying, my source for Scaramucci financials was Export-Import Bank, period. So it was not Reince Priebus who went and disclosed this. In fact, it turns out it's been public for 3 days. But the Trump administration is filled with schmucks. They never do their homework. What did I tell you about Trump from day one? His number one problem is not all the horrible things he's done. It's his incompetence. And Scaramucci and him have been friends for a long time. Because they look at each other and go, hey, you're just like me. You do the same hand motions. You do the same outrageous attacks in public, which make no sense. And you also punch yourself in the face, just like I do. So we're just seeing it in public. This is an amazing situation. After Scaramucci went to do so-called damage control on CNN the next morning, which made it way worse, which I'll give you just a sense of that in a sec. Somebody else leaked to a reporter on Bloomberg who then went on right after Scaramucci and said, White House was saying this interview was a car crash. So it's also not working to stop the leaks at all. And Scaramucci, of course, denies this. He goes, wrong, tweet was public notice to leakers that all senior administration officials are helping to end illegal leaks. And at Reince 45. He's saying, no. I didn't include Reince Priebus in the tweet to say he did it. I was doing it because like, hey, we're all in this together. Then why did you delete it? He deleted the tweet. You delete the tweet if you think, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Remember, this is the same guy who said earlier, I love this tweet. Earlier he tweeted when he first came on, full transparency, I'm deleting old tweets. What? No, that's the opposite of transparency. You delete them because you're embarrassed of them. So, God, he doesn't know anything and he's a communications director and no one has botched communications more than this. So let me go to,
there's a little bit of context because there's another piece out in the New Yorker by Ryan Lizza who we quoted because he was the first to start talking about the things that were happening within the administration. There was one thing he tweeted Wednesday night that was talking about a dinner in the White House. The First Lady, Trump, Hannity, and Bill Shine were all there. And also Scaramucci was there. This is what left him incensed about Priebus. This is what he thinks Priebus actually is leaking about, which led him to the whole full thing. And this is one quote, because this is a full article, 3 pages you have to read, that Lizza wrote, came out about an hour ago. One point when he's talking about how mad he is, he goes, Reince is a paranoid schizophrenic and a paranoiac. But he said, effing paranoid. Then he said, oh, Bill Shine's coming in. And he was like acting like he's Reince Priebus. He's telling all this to the reporter. Oh, Bill Shine's coming in. Let me leak the fucking thing and see if I can cockblock these people the way I cockblocked Scaramucci for 6 months. So he's mad about how, from the beginning, Reince Priebus didn't want Scaramucci and he was fighting with Trump since they came in to keep Scaramucci from coming in. He brought him in. Now he thinks he's mad, so he thinks he's leaking everything. Then it led to all the things that happened on the CNN interview. He's mad at Priebus. He thinks he's the one.
So let's go to video 5 here. Let's give you a little sample of what happened on CNN this morning.
Reince Priebus's name is connected to this every time it comes out in the last 24 hours. Do you have concerns about him?
Reince Priebus can speak to you about that, and he can address that himself.
All right. Okay. We will ask.
People know my history between me and Ryan.
Yes.
Okay. I can speak for my own actions. He's going to need to speak for his own actions.
Wait a minute. If you are working with Reince, as you said in your later tweet, and there's no beef, why would you? He's got to speak for himself. People know our history. We do know your history. Your history is that you guys hate each other. You wanted his job. He made sure that you couldn't get into the White House. And now you're in open warfare. So that's basically him saying, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I thought Reince was the leaker. But you just said he wasn't the leaker. God, he's so dumb. Okay, I'm going to go to videos 9 and 12 here too. Let's go to video 9 here and see how he follows that up.
If this is about dirty pool politics, should the FBI be involved in that?
I talked to Attorney General Sessions. He's on his way to El Salvador right now to talk about MS-13. It's a little early. I've got buddies of mine in the FBI that I'll be
calling. That's interesting timing.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting timing. Okay, so he's basically saying, no, I don't care, man. I'm still going to the FBI, even though it's... I know now, I've been told that it's not the right thing to do. I'm going to go to the FBI. And I'm beefing with Reince, so I presumably he's going to talk to them about that. You know what? Let's go to video 4 too. Let's go to video 4 right now, because it gives you a sense of who he's directing this to.
And the, as you know from the Italian expression, the fish stinks from the head down. But I can tell you two fish that don't stink, okay? And that's me and the president.
And who does that leave? This is insane. So he just told you that from the head down, chief of staff. I have never seen an administration where two officials are openly warring with one another, saying the other one should be fired. What a mess. This guy, Donald Trump, was supposed to be a great leader.
Joe, I know how to lead. Okay, I'm going to get things done because I just tell them, oh, you do this and you do that, and everything's going to be great.
No, it's a mess, in his own words. It's a mess. We're not winning with this. Okay. But I will give Scaramucci this. He is living up to the first part of his name, Scar. And he does stab people from the front because he's doing it on national television to his own chief of staff. We have one last clip from Scaramucci here. This apparently was directed at Reince Priebus. Let's go to video 12.
Say hello to my leader.
Tweet.
He said tweet. Okay. All right. Now let me give you the other part of the story. Okay. There's no end to this story. This is amazing. Okay. So last night, Scaramucci, the White House communications director, puts out an insane tweet saying that he's sending the information about leakers of his financial disclosure forms to the FBI and to the Justice Department. As you might know by now, because we've been covering it, the White House is not allowed to send things like that to the FBI Justice Department. It wasn't a felony and it wasn't a leak. It was already public information. Clown-o-rama. And then he deleted the tweet in a panic and then later said, no, I'm friends with Reince. And then you're about to see the CNN interview. Ain't friends. nothing close to friends. So he goes on CNN for half an hour, which is, ironically, there's a leak in the middle of the interview that CNN reports right after the interview, where a senior White House administration official says this interview is a car crash. Well, I want to show you that car crash. So let's start from the top, video 3. Here's Scaramucci on CNN.
And the president also told me, if you're nice to me in this segment, he'll let me come back on the show. Is that cool? So why don't you let me talk for a little bit, and then you can ask me questions. And what the president and I would like to tell everybody, we have a very, very good idea of who the leakers are, who the senior leakers are in the White House.
We know who the senior leakers are at the White House. Wait, if the president and you know it, why doesn't the president just fire them? I mean, the one thing he's known for is firing people, whether it was Apprentice or immediately once he gets inside the White House, like, okay, all you people I hired, you're fired, right? So if he knows, why doesn't he? And so who is it? Because you seem to indicate it was Reince Priebus. Reporters have now absolutely positively clarified that you talked to them and said it was Reince Priebus. Now you're claiming it's not, but who is it? Let's go to the next video.
And as you know from the Italian expression, the fish stinks from the head down. But I can tell you two fish that don't stink, okay? And that's me and the president.
Just say it. Say it's rights Priebus. You're saying everything but that. It's super obvious. God, this is amazing. The incompetence is legendary and record breaking. All right, next clip's a little bit longer. This is kind of where he challenges rights.
I don't like the activity that's going on in the White House. I don't like what they're doing to my friend. I don't like what they're doing to the President of the United States or their fellow colleagues in the West Wing. Now, if you want to talk about the staff, we have had odds. We have had differences. When I said we were brothers from the podium, that's because we're rough on each other. Some brothers are like Cain and Abel. Other brothers can fight with each other and get along. I don't know if this is repairable or not. That will be up to the president. But he's the chief of staff. He's responsible for understanding and uncovering and helping me do that inside the White House, which is why I put that tweet out last night. When the journalists who actually know who the leakers are, like Ryan Lizard, they know the leakers. Jonathan Swain at Axios, these guys know who the leakers are. I respect them for not telling me because I understand and respect journalistic integrity. However, when I put out a tweet and I put Reince's name in the tweet, they're all making the assumption that it's him because journalists know who the leakers are. So if Reince wants to explain that he's not a leaker, let him do that. But let me tell you something about myself. I am a straight shooter, and I'll go right to the heart of the matter. Okay, so I'm done talking. You can ask me questions, but be nice on this segment, Chris.
What a weird New York thing to say. But remember, be nice in this segment, okay? He says he's done talking. He was nowhere near done talking. And who says we're like Cain and Abel? You know they killed each other, or one of them killed the other. That is not a good analogy to make about the White House communications director and the White House chief of staff. Do you know what you're saying? You know your job is communications. He had no experience in communications. He was a financial guy. So, wow, it looks like Trump hired someone who didn't know what he was doing. Shocking. I knew you didn't see that coming. So Cain and Abel was bad enough. The fish stinks from the head down is bad enough. Hold. Let's go to the next one.
But the White House leaks are small potatoes relative to things that are going on with leaking things about Syria or North Korea or leaking things about Iraq. Those are the types of leaks that are so treasonous that 150 years ago, people would have actually been hung for those types of leaks.
Oh, I see. I'm glad we brought the tone back down. Well, the leakers, you know, we used to hang them. You know what I'm saying? What are you saying on national television? He's not done. More.
You know what I like bringing up the Department of Justice and the FBI? Because people that have done things that are wrong makes them nervous, Chris. Okay, I haven't done anything wrong, so I am not nervous at all. When people do things wrong, and you mentioned the FBI and the Department of Justice, you watch, I told the president this morning, when the iceberg hits the boat, the rats start flying up from steerage, right? Because the water comes in steerage, okay? So when you mention the FBI and the Department of Justice, you watch how the rats lift in the boat.
You just called the chief of staff a rat. And you talked about how the leakers should be hung. Now, presumably, Reince didn't leak anything about Syria and North Korea, so let's just say you didn't mean that about Reince. But for the president to tolerate this kind of dissension within his own administration and not to straighten it out shows horrible management skills. I mean, I've never seen a manager this bad in my life, and we're all seeing it because he's the president of the United States. He's doing it in front of everybody. Do you let a guy like, if somebody from the opposition party talked about your chief of staff that way, imagine what Trump would say. But his silence is deafening. And Scaramucci keeps saying, I talked to the president and I talked this morning, and he says they're like, I said they're like rats, right? You know what I'm saying, Donnie? So apparently Donald Trump is on Scaramucci's side. So, but he's the one in obvious insubordination of the chief of staff. He's the one doing it publicly. Reince didn't do it publicly. Any rational human being would fire Scaramucci, but instead it looks like Reince is the one in trouble. I don't know how this sorts itself out. You know why? Because Trump doesn't know. He's like, this is a problem. I didn't know it was going to be a problem. I told him to fire everybody, and I told him to go after the guys, including my own second in charge, chief of staff. You know, the vice president sits in his own residence, doesn't know anything. Chief of staff is, in essence, the second most powerful person. And Trump is apparently, he saw the tweet Scaramucci sent last night, I guess, saying that his own chief of staff should be reported to the FBI for a felony. Again, not true. It wasn't a felony and Reince didn't do it. But the president saw that and then he talks to Scaramucci this morning and he's like, okay, go on CNN, make more of a jackass out of yourself. I can't describe to you how insane this is. More from Scaramucci. He's not done. He's never done.
If this is about dirty pool politics, should the FBI be involved in that?
I talked to Attorney General Sessions. He's on his way to El Salvador right now to talk about MS-13. It's a little early. I've got buddies of mine in the FBI that I'll be
calling. That's interesting timing.
The White House is not supposed to direct the FBI. That is a part of our checks and balances, but they don't know anything about our government. So I'm sitting here in the White House, Chris, and I directed the FBI. Oh my God, why did you just admit that on air? How many times can I say incompetence? More.
No laws have been broken, no FBI, no Department of Justice, but I like mentioning them because I know knee knockers when I see them and their knees will start knocking.
I know the knee knockers, you know what I'm saying? You know, you got these refs trying to get off the bone. I know the knee knockers. So I tell him something, okay? I say, I got to report you to the FBI, whether it's legal or illegal. That's what I'm going to do, okay? All right, Mooch. One last one from the Mooch.
You know we shouldn't be running the White House like that.
Look, I totally get why you want integrity of purpose within your White House. I think that your desire to be straight about it is important. I think that's why these tweets last night got you in a little bit of trouble, and I wanted to give you a chance to clarify it.
I'm not, believe me, let me tell you something. I work for one person, okay? I report to the President of the United States. I talked to him 15 minutes this morning. I'm far from in trouble.
Okay, I'm not now, saying I'm you're in a, trouble, but I'm saying the tweets style, and the deleting the I tweets.
Have I have his full support, okay?
So, look, Donald Trump, if Scaramucci really does have your full support, and he thinks the fish stinks from the head down, and he thinks it's Reince Priebus, and he wants to report him to the FBI, if you think your chief of staff committed a felony, then you should fire him immediately. But yet, there's still no one home. The president hasn't spoken about this, and he's just letting this happen in front of the whole world. Have you ever seen management this bad? If you saw it at a company, you would be in disbelief. When are they going to do something about this? But it's playing out in front of the whole planet. I've never seen anything so mental in my life. Every day you wake up and just when you think you hit the bottom, you find out that this barrel doesn't have a bottom. So what's going to happen tomorrow? I have no idea. But this thing is spinning out of control so fast. We can't keep up with it. This is such a mess. It's making our heads spin. By the way, Trump supporters, are you tired of winning yet? Remember you were going to win so much, you were going to get tired of winning? You might be tired, but it ain't of winning. One last quote for you guys. Josh Green talked to a senior White House advisor. He's from Bloomberg, but he was on CNN right after Scaramucci's interview. The senior White House advisor said the interview, as I told you earlier, was a car crash. So then Green says on the air, so the idea that stunts like this are going to lock down the leaks, shut them off, I think it's probably wrong. Because they're leaking while he's complaining about leaks on CNN. So not only has it been grotesquely counterproductive, it also didn't accomplish its mission. Incompetence through and through. All right, so that's Scaramucci. That's a Scaramucci. I mean, how do they find these guys? It's amazing. Okay, all right, let's go to, I want to go to Brownback, okay? So Sam Brownback is the governor of Kansas, or he was. I'm going to tell you what happened to him in a second. And what he did was an epic disaster in Kansas. And even Republicans admit that. In fact, they are now reversing his policies. So he's got a new job, and I want to tell you about that, and this is going to be great. Kansas Governor Sam Brownback will leave that role as governor in favor of a job in the Trump administration. Oh, great. Yet another incompetent person joining the Trump administration. That's what the White House announced on Wednesday. So, how bad is Brownback? I mean, he's a deeply Republican governor in a deeply Republican state of Kansas. So, and he got to do all the things that Republicans always promised, which is tax cuts for the rich and corporations. He did it, and it was supposed to trickle down all over Kansas. It did, but not in the way that they were expecting. So, but still, he's a Republican governor, it's a Republican state, so they should love what he did, right? No. Sam Brownback should thank Chris Christie, because that's the only reason why he's the second most unpopular governor in the country. So he's coming in at number 49 because Chris Christie's shutting down beaches and lying all over him in New Jersey. So if you can't be a popular Republican governor in Kansas, you really suck at your job. So I think he's at what, 27% approval rating, 66% disapproval. Those numbers are miserable. By the way, he's more unpopular than Rick Snyder, who poisoned Flint, Michigan. This is unbelievable. Okay, so why? Why did the Republicans in Kansas turn on him? Well, he did a tax cut bill in 2012 when he came in. He's like, tax cuts for the rich, yes! And he did $3.7 billion for over 5 years. Now, for a state like Kansas, that's a giant number. But hey, this is the experiment Republicans have been waiting for their whole lives. You know, you had the whole legislature, you had the governor, you got to do whatever you want. You did a giant tax cut for the top, and so did it work? Because their idea is not only does it help the economy, but once it helps the economy, you could actually collect more revenue for the government. No, it won't create deficits that we just took $3.7 billion out of the budget. No, it'll magically, with fairy dust, create surpluses. So did it? No. So between 2014 and 2017, not the whole 5 year span, $715 million in deficits. Oops. So then they had to pretty much butcher everything else in the budget because they got to get to balanced budget. So there's now a $715 million hole in the budget over those set of years in a small state like Kansas. So they're throwing things overboard. Look, I can give you a dozen examples. I'll just give you one. Education budget cuts in just 1 year, in 2015, totaled $44.5 million. So when you throw people's kids overboard because your dumbass tax cuts for the rich didn't work, well, then people start to get mad. So, and right before he left, and I'm going to tell you his job in a second, in a stunning blow to Brownback's legacy, TPM reports, Kansas legislators overrode the governor's veto in June to pass a bill reversing the income tax cuts that had come to haunt the state and mark Brownback's governorship. So that is not a Democratic legislature. That is a deeply Republican legislature. He vetoed it. They overrode the veto. They had to get almost everybody on board, a huge majority on board, to say, no, our Republican governor is a dumbass. And those income tax cuts that we told you would work for the corporations and for mainly the proceeds go to the rich, only a small portion for the middle class, and we told you they would eventually help the middle class, they didn't. It was a grotesque failure. We Republicans in Kansas admit it was a failure. We're going to override his veto and make sure we don't do tax cuts anymore. What have we been telling you all this time? It doesn't work. They got everything they wanted. They did their experiment, and it was an epic failure. So where's Brownback going now? He has a very important job at the Trump White House. He's going to be ambassador at large for international religious freedom. If you're wondering what that is, you're not alone. That looks like a made-up job. Now, it's not, to be fair. We looked into it. Clinton administration passed a law that created this office for friends who are religious. You're an ambassador at large, float away. And what are you working on? How do you work on international religious freedom? By the way, if you want to do that, you picked the wrong guy. Let's look at his record on that front. Talking Points memo explains, in March of last year, Brownback signed into law a measure enabling student groups at public colleges to discriminate on the basis of religion. Okay, such that only Christian students, for example, could join a Christian student association. Now look, you might agree with, hey, only Christians should get to join Christian groups. That's fine, but what he did was say, you are allowed to discriminate based on religion. His new job is to make sure no one discriminates based on religion. the ACLU of Kansas noted in a statement Wednesday that, quote, throughout his tumultuous tenure, Governor Brownback worked tirelessly to erode the protections that the First Amendment affords for separation of church and state. The other thing the First Amendment does is it says you shall not establish a religion and you shall have freedom of religion. Because if you establish a religion, which is also in other parts of the Constitution, then you have eroded the freedom of other religions. It's a simple concept, one that Sam Brownback doesn't understand, hence why he got this job. But overall, look, he's leaving for an incredibly unimportant job with almost no responsibility because he had to get the hell out of Dodge. Dodge is actually in Kansas, so in this case, it's perfect. He's like, I don't want to be governor anymore. This is so embarrassing. Please, please get me anything. And the Trump administration is like, yeah, okay, hey, we got this. Sam, come here. So we actually have video here. It's video 14 of Sam Brownback in his new important role. Sam, how's the rest of your political career going? Well, let's watch.
Doctors, don't detach. You must detach. If you don't detach, that arm's going to carry you too far. Listen to my voice. You need to focus. I'm losing visual of you. In 2 seconds, I won't be able to track you. Need to detach. I can't see you anymore. Do it now.
There goes Sam. Ambassador at large. There's Republicanism for you. All right. We got to take a quick break. We got a whole other hour for you guys. We'll be right back.